Now, when you think of Cliff Richard, you need to take on board quite a number of facts. For example, let's start with the fact that he has 130 singles, albums and EPs that have reached the top 20. He's had 67 UK top 10 singles, 67 of them, right? He holds the record with Elvis as the only act to make the UK singles charts in all of its first 6 decades. He has 14 number ones, and he, on top of all of that, has had a number one single in each of the 5 consecutive decades. That's who Cliff Richard is. And Music, The Air That I Breathe, is the name of the brand new album. And this is the title track, just before we talk to Cliff.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd ask. I can't think of anything I need. No cigarettes, no sleep, no light, no sound, nothing to eat, no books to read.
Marty, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Cliff. It's lovely to hear your voice. How are you with Vic? How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, actually. I've been here for quite a while now in Britain, about 6 or 7 weeks.
And yeah.
I did my quarantining and did my audio version of the book during that quarantine time. And then I've been doing TV and radio stuff. So.
And I saw you were quarantining, God love you, in Barbados.
Well, Barbados is a great place to be if you're going to be locked down. I was locked down for 5 weeks there.
But yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I had to come back and present my new book and my new album, so I expect that when I do things like this.
I know, but do you know what I love? I mean, firstly, belated happy birthday to you, which is terrific. And to still want to do it, to still love doing it at 80, you're an incredible fella. But also the fact that when I saw the photographs, other people would celebrate with a small cake and a sherry. You went and played a game of tennis to celebrate your 80th.
Well, I got a chance to play with somebody, a guy called James Ward. He's one of our Davis Cup players.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, somebody who works for British Airways, and they arranged it for me. And so, of course, I'm a member there, so I could go. With,
yes.
It was terrific to sort of hit some balls again because I hadn't played since March. So I was pretty rough, actually, to be honest with you.
But it's such a passion of yours, we know. It really is. It's such a passion. Well, listen, let's talk about the music. The album is terrific. Firstly, congratulations on it, the fact that you have it, and the book as well, which is quite something. Choosing the tracks, I have to say, when I saw Too Much Heaven on the list, I went, oh, I wonder what... It's really, really good.
Well, it's a matter of doing something like that. We decided we'd do 5 classic known songs.
Mm.
And, of course, they're classic because they are what they are. And the people that... I mean, the Bee Gees version is just absolutely the version of all time. And they've always been my favourite band. So I chose songs that I really enjoyed and liked by other people and try to do them slightly differently. In fact, I don't know whether Barry's heard this yet, because what we did was I suggested that we put it into like a waltz tempo.
Yeah.
It's 1, 2, 3, nobody get... So I don't know. I hope he likes it. And things like Here Comes the Sun, I suggested we with a slight gentle reggae. And so the albums turned out to be quite interesting. And the five duets, of course, on I sang with some terrific people.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the Bellamy Brothers and everything in there. Let's have a listen to Too Much Heaven. Here it is. Music from Cliff Richard, the brand new album, Music, The Air That I Breathe. Incidentally, my friend, do you know what I found? You know the way COVID, people are talking about all their strange dreams and everything. When I knew we were going to have our chat today, the song Dreamin' wouldn't leave my head. Isn't that weird? That great old song of yours, it kept playing in my mind. Isn't it mad?
Which song do you mean?
Remember Dreamin', I'm dreamin' of being you. Remember that? No? Is it gone?
Oh, of course, that was the song called Dreaming.
Yes, Dreaming.
Right. The Tarnick song.
Yes, great song, great song.
I mean, the thing is, that's why we call the book The Dreamer, because while I was being interviewed, I had a co-writer, and he helped me a great deal. He got information from me that I managed to remember. I couldn't get all the statistics right, but sure. I got all the incidents right. He was saying, you know, I was telling him about how I dreamed of being Elvis, and
yes.
I had a dream of doing this, and of course, I was talking about things that actually had happened. So we decided that The Dreamer might be a good title for the book. But it wasn't based on that song, but I guess that song does mean a lot.
It sure does. I'm thinking about one of the stories that I haven't read the book yet, but I'm looking forward to it. In the book, isn't there a story about the first time that you attempted to meet Elvis? Was that in Germany?
Yes, it was. I was coming back. I'd gone with three friends, the drummer of the Drifters, the original band, myself and a friend and his girlfriend. We went to Italy for our holiday, and on the way back, we thought we'd take a slight detour. We can go to Bad Nauheim, I think it was called, a place where Elvis we knew was stationed, and I had a house there. So we got there. We had no trouble finding the house. It was covered in graffiti, every bit of fencing and walls. We love you, Elvis. So I went there and knocked on the door, and this big, burly American guy said, yeah, hi, what can I do for you? And I said, well, oh, is Elvis in? And he said, no, he's not. I said, well, my name's Cliff Richard. Could you say I called? He said, I'll tell him.
Oh, that's
so
brilliant.
He wasn't there, so I missed out on that one.
But still, and you know, it's interesting, isn't it, when you think about it, and your success and the statistics. It's the Beatles, it's Elvis, and it's Cliff. It is, and it hasn't changed.
Well, the thing is, I just looked it up again. I'm number three to Beatles and Elvis in Britain, Kendall's. Yeah. And I'm going to refute it because I've just dug up a program called The Ultimate Pop Star.
Yeah.
And in there, it's undoubtedly, you know, I have spent, apparently, when they counted up the weeks we spent in the charts, I had spent 2 years in the charts. That's a third of my whole career actually in the British charts. And when you think about the Beatles had such phenomenal success everywhere, but they were only together from 63 by 69. They weren't talking to each other.
It was a tiny period. That's right, 10 years.
So I feel that I own that title. I think I'm happy to be third to both Elvis and Beatles, but I've got a feeling that in Britain, my single sales I should be second to Elvis.
Ah, that's fair enough by me. Do you know what I found at home? I was going through some stuff because we've chatted over the years, which I've always enjoyed. I found a 7-inch. Do you remember Cliff and Hank and Throw Down a Line? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. In fact, I mean, Hank had written a couple of songs for me before that, and I mean, in fact, when the Shadows broke up, I found I had no band, of course, and the first song I sang, though, I believe I'm right in saying this, was written for me by Hank. That was The Day I Met Marie.
Oh, right.
Well, and of course, he'd written Silvery Rain and Throw Down a Line. So even after the Shadows bust up, we still had connections. And when you think about it, years later, Bruce Welch produced the biggest selling single I ever had. So we've kept in touch and just stay in touch as much as we can.
Well, it's good. And you've had your reunions over the years, too, which is always good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The years go by, you know, and I keep thinking about it even now. I'm happy to actually get into some charts, and my album and the book look as though they're going to be charting.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I would never have expected this after all these years. Don't forget, we were written off as one-hit wonders, and there's one headline we read that said, "Here today, gone tomorrow." Mm. And somehow or another, both the Shadows and I survived the years.
But you're one of the most enduring stars anywhere. We think about Move It, we think about Devil Woman, we think about some people, which you did with the Royal Philharmonic, and I just fell off my chair here in the studio because it's so beautiful, that version with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
It's always a treat when you get a chance to sing. I mean, with a good band. I had a great band, and so I can't grumble at all. I loved all those rock and roll things that the Shadows and I did together.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're offered a chance to have a stringed orchestra sweep in behind you. It's a fantastic. It's a great feeling for any singer. It's like when I did Miss You Nights, which there were no drums on Miss You Nights. There was bass and there were loads of orchestra, and it was like singing and floating on a cloud. I thought that's the way I describe it.
But that remains one of... That's the album I'm Nearly Famous. It remains one of the great love songs.
I think so. I've always described Miss You Nights as being something that... it's like singing honey.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is to do with your voice, Cliff, if I can be perfectly honest with you.
I don't know how to rate myself anymore because there are so many different ways of singing.
Yeah.
I often wish that I could have sung a bit like some of the bluesy people, you know. And I did an album of soul music with a whole bunch of black artists. And in between, in some of the gaps, I said the Temptations were on there. And I said, you know, I've just got you black singers, you know. I said, your vocal cords are like concrete. And he said to me, well, what are yours like? I said, cotton wool. I'd like to have been able to establish a little bit of that in my throat. But you know, I'm a recording artist, so over and above what I want to do, I needed to do things that people would buy. And so I guess I'll always be remembered for the, Miss You Nights and the Devil Woman and the Summer Holidays and the Living Dolls.
Yes.
But deep down inside of me, I'd like to be like Joe Bonamassa.
I understand that. I understand that.
I've had many times, I can tell you, times when innocence I trade for company and children saw me crying. I thought I'd had my share of that, but these miss you nights.
I'm chatting with Cliff Richard today, having a great old chat. Listen, you talk about duets and you talk about the album, The Air That I Breathe. You have a song on the album called P.S. Please. And yes. it's fantastic, with Mark Knopfler.
Well, there's three writers from Britain, and I can't remember their names. I haven't yet learnt the names yet. Mm. One of them's got a strange sort of foreign-sounding name. But anyway, the song is... I mean, I've never sung a song... In other words, it was like playing the part of a man who had already died.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, from the lyrics, he never saw his daughter, but they named her Eliza. And he left her Christmas cards and New Year messages and a bit of advice. So it's very poignant, but it's a sort of posthumous song. He's singing from the grave to her, saying, I hope you find time to read the letters I left for you. I hope the money I left bought you your first car. It's a really fabulous song. I love it. It was meant to be on the last album, but I couldn't get it on there for some reason. And now I can. And I think we're probably going to release it nearer Christmas.
It's a wonderful song. It truly is. And having Mark Knopfler on it too is just a joy. He's so good.
Well, I'm so glad you're speaking like this. You're flattering me.
No, it's true. It's true. Because the point is, you could bring out an album, and let's not fool ourselves. You could bring out an album, people say, oh, here's Cliff, and it's his 172nd album. That's brilliant. But the fact is, the music has to stand up, and the voice has to stand up, and it has to stand on its own. And the fact is, it does. You know, I mean, I know I'm a fan, and I know that I came over to interview when you were in Time in the Dominion Theatre, and I know I came to meet you a number of times, and you've been over to Dublin, and we've met and we've chatted, but you still have to deliver the goods, and you are, and that's hats off to you, my friend. At 80 years of age, I think it's terrific that you're still doing it at the level you're doing it. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I guess any kind of voice that sings, it's a gift. I mean, and there's not much you can do about that. I mean, fortunately for me, I've been blessed with good health.
Yes.
And that helps a lot, that you're not sick or anything like that. And I've looked after my voice as best I can. I usually warm up before I go and do concerts. And if ever I'm recording, normally I won't have done anything for months. But about 6 weeks before getting to a studio, I start using a CD that I have, which is a warm-up CD. It takes about 45 minutes, and I start doing it twice a week. Then as I get nearer, I do it three times a week. And by the time I get to the studio, my voice is warmed up and ready to go. So I think you have to work at it a little bit, but generally speaking, it's still just a wonderful gift.
But it's also about being fit, isn't it? It's also about looking after yourself and keeping yourself as trim, I suppose, as you can be, and healthy, yeah?
Oh, yes. I've always been aware of that, and I've dieted. I've done every diet that's known to man. But recently I discovered a few years ago, I discovered something that was based on your blood type. So I only eat the food that I'm supposed to eat. I can treat myself now and then. For instance, I'm not allowed to eat steaks, but I will have maybe 5 steaks a year, and that'll do. And I look forward to the days I choose to have steaks. So I've been careful with what I've done, and I've tried to stay fit. Tennis has helped me a great deal, because even though I can't play great tennis, I can run about a court. And in Portugal, when I'm playing there, I play with a coach 3 times a week. He runs me ragged for an hour, and we're playing in 85, 90 degrees of sun, so your heart's And so I've done as much as I can to remain fit.
Chatting with Cliff Richard. You know, it's funny when we think back on your incredible career, and yet here you are with this brand new music. And I remember watching you at the Eurovision. Power to All Our Friends, I think, is still one of the great songs, by the way. I've always felt it was still a great song. I know Congratulations with Phil Coulter is a classic, but Power to All Our Friends is a good song too. Never hear it on the radio.
Was. I thought that Power to All Our Friends had more of a chance than Congratulations. Congratulations, we were pipped by 1 point, and so it was a close winner.
Yeah.
But Power to All Our Friends was really a good rocking song, and I was surprised. I've never won the Eurovision, but I came second and third. Power to All Our Friends got to number three.
But Cliff, everyone thinks you did.
Well, technically, there was a story went out about a Spanish documentary maker, and she said she had irrefutable evidence that I had been nobbled because a couple of the juries had been tampered with.
They've been got at.
Never know.
Never happened at the Eurovision. That's a disgraceful thing to say. Listen, by the way, what is Christmas going to be like for you? Are you staying in the UK?
No, I'm going to be leaving on the 16th of this month.
Yeah.
And heading to Barbados.
Right.
I reside in Barbados.
Yes.
So I tend to need to be there sometimes. And this time I've had a long, long, fabulous time here in Britain. And it's been really good to catch up with everybody.
I remember I had an album out called Marty Recommends Christmas Music. And one of the tracks on it, Mistletoe and Wine, was the version you did, the German version, with Claudia Young.
Oh, yeah, but I sang in English, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. But it was gorgeous. It was very different. It just gave us a different handle on Mistletoe and Wine, which was lovely.
It's nice for me at this stage of my career that people still, first of all, remember who I am. And every now and then someone will come up with an idea and say, wouldn't they sound okay together? So I get a chance to sing with quite a few people. It's like the album has 5 duets on it.
Yes.
And they're 5 completely different types of music and different types of singers. And I just like slotting in with whatever they do. And Mistletoe and Wine stood out on its own anyway, but to do it with Claudia was really nice for me, and I thought it sounded really terrific.
It was wonderful.
Ein Stern ist erwacht in heiliger Nacht, eine neue Chance, ein neuer Anfang. Dreams of Santa, dreams of snow, says all glow. It's Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme, with locks on the fire and gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice.
Vertrauen und Zeit, um zu hoffen. Nur dem, der liebt, stehen die Herzen offen.
Christmas is love, Christmas is peace, a time for hating and fighting to cease.
Just to say, before we finish, a very happy Christmas to you, by the way, and I hope you have a wonderful time in Barbados. Will we still be able to open a bottle of Vida Nova, do you think?
Me?
Yeah, oh, yes. You and me.
Yeah. When I'm in Portugal, when I'm in Barbados, when I'm here in England, I don't really drink anything else. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of good wines, you know, but mine's quite good too. So I think to myself, why drink somebody else's when I've watched mine grow from the kitchen window in Portugal. Now I'm drinking this stuff. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. You've been catering to it for years. Cliff, you're a constant pleasure. God bless you and good health to you. And we'll meet soon, please God. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Marty. Thank you.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.